this song is so relevant, that if we are children of God, then we must truly know the goodness of God. Am I right? I just see a couple of nods. So if you agree, you can say amen. It's okay. So if we are children of God, and you know, this is such a great song, because what we're going to talk about this morning is going to be more or less aligned to what the song is. We're going to talk about the goodness of God from a different angle. So this week alone, I think I was just so amazed. We've been praying for Tabo. I prayed about it just now as well. He's a boilermaker at work. He suffered from leukemia, and he's gone in for chemotherapy. And in this week, he sends a message. So what is great about this is how this, just this journey about him. I spoke about it last week as well, is that he, instead of just going through life knowing about God, he is living a life trusting that God is God. And on his bed, his Bible is lying next to him, and we talk quite frequently, and I've asked for the congregation to pray for him. And what is great about this is, though, is that we sit in the morning meeting at work, and there's a couple of guys that aren't well, there's a couple of people that are not well, Tabu's not well, and so guys, let's just pray. And then we pray for Tabu around the boardroom table. Now, if you've ever been a lukewarm Christian, sitting around that boardroom table, and you're praying for Tabu, and Tabu sends a message to say, guys, I don't have to go for all 9 sessions, I'm only going for this last one now, and then we're going to do a bone marrow transplant, and I'm really feeling well, and he's excited to get done, he's excited to go home, he's excited because he knows that God has touched his body. And then the guys around the boardroom table sit there, and everybody's excited because, wow, we're so glad for Tabo, you know? It's no longer just me, myself, and I, and a company that might be closing down. People get excited because we're sitting around the boardroom table, and for the first time, the prayer is directed, and there are people that might believe and don't believe, and all of a sudden they see, but prayer, and all of a sudden this happens. We sit around the boardroom table, and we're just praying for the situation that the company is in. I said, guys, we stop being negative, you know? Remove yourselves from that, and let's do what we can do, and do what we need to do. But when you sit there and you pray, say, Father, your hand, we know that this is what the executive management has said, but Father, your hand into the situation. And then people will say to you, you know what, you are right. We have to believe and we have to continue because God is in control. It tells you that all of a sudden, as when we step out, we make ourselves available for others to believe. And when we step out and when we put ourselves out there, then people cannot deny that things are changed. So when you go and the electrical superintendent is in the hospital for a blood clot, and we pray and we ask, and then 3-4 days things have cleared up and she's out of hospital, people cannot deny that God works. And then all of a sudden, when the senior manager sits there next to your bed and prays with you, it kind of changes the atmosphere, because, you know, people don't look at you in that fashion. They don't perceive you to be that. And that's why I said last week that when we step out there, what do people see? How do they perceive you out in school, at the workplace, where you find yourself? How do people see you? Are you the one that the minute things go wrong, you are going on to the negative tangent and you draw everybody with you? Are you the one that stands, no, hang on, guys, there's certain things that we cannot control, but God is in control, you know? And I called in one of the managers in one of the soups, was it on Friday? And, because there was just something that bothered me. I called him in and we had the discussion, and then you see people, before I even speak, they say, no, don't worry, we sorted it out. He did apologize and I did accept. And I think, things are changing. God is moving. When we allow God to operate, when we allow God to move and change the hearts of people, and trust me, this would not under the normal circumstances happen, and you see the change in the way that people operate happens, then you realize that God is busy moving. And this is what we are called to do. When we step out, God has called us to change the atmosphere in which we operate, in which we find ourselves. God has called us to change the situation. When we are challenged and our teams are challenged, that when we step out and you're in a leadership position, then you step out in faith and you say, Lord, this situation I commit to you, and we wait for God to move and to operate. And that's why this morning we're going to talk about live up to the expectation. And I'm going to challenge us this morning God is going to challenge us this morning to say, what is that expectation? So whether you are young, whether you are old, much older, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, what is that expectation of you? Not what is your personal expectations, what is your expectation within Christ? Because sometimes we can, because if I say, what is your expectation, Abigail say, double story house, 6 rooms, 3 bathrooms. What else, Abigail? Ferrari. Okay. So we can have all these wonderful dreams, but when we have the expectation and what God has called us, and the expectation is aligned in Christ, my expectations are different, but I have to have that expectations in order to move. Otherwise, I'm stagnant. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going through the motions. And God has not called us to go through the motions. God has called us to align with what He has called us to do. Christ died for us so that we might live and have life in abundance. What does that mean for me? Because for each and every one of us, it is different. You see, God has created us uniquely. There is no duplication. There is no pirates. Who's shouting for pirates at the moment? Sorry. So there is no copy. There is only you. There is no one like you. It is fascinating. You know, Abigail studies genetics. The only thing that I know, she normally sends stuff to me internally to read through. I know nothing about genetics. Okay. If she asks me about engineering, I can help her with mechanical engineering specifically. I can help her, but about genetics, I know nothing. So when this thing comes in, we normally just check language and we check, does it make sense? And then for some other reason, I go in to see, what is she trying to say? And then I say, I don't understand this. And then I have to go read up about it. I have to go Google it. And then I say, oh, she's actually right. Because it didn't make sense when I read it from my engineering perspective, but when I read it from, when I went to go do a little bit of research and read it from her perspective, is that what it means? The thing that excites me though about what she's studying is the more she's studying and the further she's studying and the more she asks us to read, and I read this, I'm flabbergasted. Sometimes, you know, when I work in Pretoria as well, so I drive off to Pretoria. And on my way there, or on my way back, I might stop off by Abigail and say, how's things? Are you all right? And then she will talk about the things she's studying. And although most of the things goes, you know, I get excited for her because she speaks about it with such excitement and enthusiasm. And then I realize, wow, God, by a mere word, created this very complex human being of how the genes and everything has to fit in together to be who you are, and how you fit together from illnesses to how you operate. It's all chemically, there's chemistry involved, there's mechanics involved, there is electricity involved, but how these things fit together, how God has created every little enzyme, every little strand of DNA to make you, it just blows my mind to think. We had a discussion the other day. I said, Abby, you know, the one thing that astonishes me is the things that you've taught me about how awesome it is that God created us, how these things fit together, because you are getting to know more and more about these things, and it's fascinating. By a mere word, God spoke, and it was, and man up until today don't know half of it. By a mere word. So forget about evolution. Evolution wasn't that smart. Okay? I've not seen monkeys turn into man somewhere along the line. It was God who created man. He spoke and it was. And even up until today, man is still discovering how intricate this is, because there had to be a blueprint. There had to be a plan of how everything fits together. You know, why you are who you are today. It wasn't just because of. It didn't just happen just so by the way, the Big Bang Theory. It's all a load of rubbish. God created man. And the great thing about this is God created man in His image. So, far be it for me to just rub it down to it just happened because of. It's impossible. It's so intricate. Everything fits so well together so that you are who you are, that it could not just happen. It could not just happen because of. So if we understand the expectation, then we have to start from the beginning. So let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I've read Genesis since I've been a child. I've been told stories about Genesis since I've been a child. I've grown up, been a teenager, and knew about Genesis. God said, and so it was. I've preached on Genesis quite a few times. And then I realized I don't know everything I think I know about Genesis, because then God revealed another truth. And I would like to share that with you. So from verse 26, it reads as follows. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Let's just quickly stop there. Because I think when we read Genesis, we say we stopped the very minute when we read God said, let us make human beings. We forgot, we missed it. Somehow our spiritual eyes were closed, or at least mine was. Until I read this again after Pulani came and said, is that what marriage is supposed to be? I said, no, let me take you to Genesis, what God's intention was. And then when I read it, the Holy Spirit revealed something else to me in totality. He says, let us create human beings in our image to be like us. So when God created us, that is why it's important that we understand that this flesh is not who we are spirits. Within this body, this is just a house, a host. You are possessed. It should be by the Holy Spirit. Okay, alright. Nothing else. This body remains behind. The Spirit leaves this body. The Bible says that when we go to heaven, when we die, we go to heaven and we receive a glorified body. A body that is free from illness, sickness, and disease. You will still have your hair, me and you. We'll still get it back. Okay, so because this body is here on earth, it's full of gout, it's full of high blood pressure, it's full of sugar diabetes, it's full of a lot of things. This body is not perfect. It is a body, we are unique, but it's not perfect. But when we die, the Bible says we will receive a glorified body. No more glasses, Veronica. No more contact lenses, Natalie. See, a glorified body, a body free of sickness, illness, and disease. Okay, you don't have to get to heaven and say, Lord, what medical aid plan am I on? You're not getting that. Okay, it comes free with a medical aid plan. God didn't bring you to heaven and then you got a medical aid plan. This body will go back to ashes for ashes and dust for dust. When you get to heaven, you will get a glorified body. But what we've got to understand about this body, we inhabit this body as spirits. And because God is spirits, we need to worship God in spirits and in truth. Because God is spirit. What is God? Spirits. So if God created us in His image like Him, we were created spirits. And hence we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. This is what God intended right from the beginning when He created man before the fall. God created man to worship Him in spirits. When the fall came, Christ was already predestined to bring us back from worshiping Him through this fleshly ourselves, back to worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That is why it's so important to adhere and to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because God's very intention was that you and me, being spirit beings, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Then God said, you know, this is awesome. So, girls, quickly take a listen to this. Guys as well, it's okay. Guys have already, through the years, have accepted that is the norm. But girls, ladies, listen to this. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the animals on the earth, and the small animals and the scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Listen to this. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. What was the instruction to the human beings? To rule over all things. Who was the human beings God created? Male and female. You see? God did not say, oh, by the way, guys, I've created you to rule. Woman, I've created you to have children and to obey your husbands. That's it. That's your jobs. No. When God created human beings, God said, you will rule over. God has given us the authority as human beings, male and female, to govern, to rule, to lead, to take charge of what He has created. There is a responsibility that God has given us to take charge of what He has created. God did not just call men into leadership, but He's also called women into leadership, because to govern is leadership. To govern is to take charge of. What God has given you, we must take charge of. Then God blessed him and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign, God said, over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, we will talk about that a little bit later on when we have our nature program of our responsibility to take care of. And I think we'll ask Dickie to do it because Dickie loves the environment. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I want to talk to you about is that if we're going to live up to the expectation, up to what our expectation is within Christ, we need to understand that we have been called to govern. We've been called to to take charge of. We have to understand that we have been created in, not just in the image of God. God said, like us. God is spirit, and hence true worshippers will worship him in spirit and in truth. This body, we are unique as it is, but we are spirits. And so, in order for us to govern, we need to link up to the one who created the earth, heavens and the earth. And God is spirit, and we need to link up with him. And that is the start of understanding what the expectation is. Because if, as young people, you grow up, you go through school, you go through the motions, and then when you get a little bit older and you stop playing in the streets and stop running around, and stop being just kids, you, like teenagers, you don't want to be an adult. You want to be an adult, but you don't want to let go of the no responsibilities. You want to govern, but you want to govern as a child. But as you grow up, that changes, because then you say, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do with myself? Trust me, there's many adults that still stands today and say, what am I going to do with myself? Where am I going? Okay? But if you start young, if you start early, and understanding that God has created you, so the one that knows is God himself. So for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. If you get to understand that as a spiritual being, you understand you have to link up to God. It's not up, you have, the sooner you start, the sooner you link up with the Holy Spirit, the sooner you get answers. And it's true. The sooner you understand that, yes, I might make a plan, but God might intervene and throw a curveball. And then I don't go sit down for 3 months and cry about that curveball. I accept my curveball and I pray about my curveball and I say, Father, thanks for my curveball, but now I'm going to run with whatever you are giving me, and this is the path that I'm going to run in. Then we understand that God is in control. Because sometimes we spend months and years. Yo, adults are bad at this. Guys, adults are bad at this. They will hang on to things that hurt them in life. They just can't get through it. They can't get over it. They can't understand that God has set me free. They battle with it. Some people battle with it until they die. Very sad. How do we think this is today? This is not just today. This is not just today. I want to share with you Isaiah 43. This thing where people battle with life and they cannot get over it, because I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a mom. Both my parents died. Those are big things, right? Some people say my aunt said something bad to me, and they still, up until today, they don't speak to their aunt. My uncle said this. My mom said this. My father said this. My dad did this. And meanwhile, God is calling and saying, I am the perfect father. Draw near to me. Draw near to me. Let me heal. Let me heal whatever hurt you have. The hurt is real, but let me heal that for you. Let me show you what love is. Let me show you what joy is, because I'm spirit. Let's link up with God's spirit. Within God's spirit, there is perfect joy. Let's link up with God, then God's spirit. Let's link up with the Holy Spirit. Let's understand the fruits of the Spirit. Let's live in it so that we can be set free. No, people, hang on. And it's not just now. So in Isaiah 43, I read it also not so long ago. See, sometimes you read, but you certain things are closed because you're looking for something. But sometimes you just read, and then you realize, wow, really? So God set the Israelites free from Egypt. So God comes, he brings the plagues, and the Pharaoh is now scared. He let them go, and then Pharaoh comes after them to kill them, and God opens up the Red Sea, and the Israelites goes through, but Pharaoh and all his army gets killed because the water overcomes them, and the Israelites are now in the desert. We know they were in the desert for 40 years because they were kept on moaning about Egypt. They kept on building their own idols after seeing all of this, after seeing everything that God has done. you know, the danger of being caught up into myself and my everyday, and I don't want to overcome. I feed on the hurt because that's what keeps me going. I might have 10 ulcers along the way, but that's okay. My medical aid covers it. So it's okay. I keep on holding on to these things instead of being set free, because Christ has come to set us free. He came to set us free from these things so that we can live in spirit with the Holy Spirit to guide us into God's perfect plan and purpose, and we've been called to govern. So what if we don't go beyond that point, it doesn't matter what expectation you have received in the spirit, you will not fulfill it because you are caught up in your own hang-ups. See, God can set you free. I spoke to a young lady, was it on Friday? She sat in this pews, and she has a daughter, and we quickly had a talk about what her daughter goes through. And her daughter's caught up into depression, and she shares a little bit about the experience there. And I motivate her, and I tell her, and I share with her, and I share to her what she must share with her daughter. But even from a tear, Satan is not playing around. Huh? He's coming to seek whom he can devour, get rid of, kill. Satan does not want you to live in what God has promised. He's jealous of who you are. Pastor Bram said it. God created you in His image to rule and to govern. He doesn't like that. Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't want you to have that. But God has called us nonetheless, and Christ has died so that we might have life and we might have it in abundance. That's why He called us. But now, for 40 years in the desert, circles, after they've now established as Israel, after they've now all the tribes got their land, Judah, in Isaiah 42, 43, 42, Judah ends up back into Egypt because they're serving foreign gods. They're doing even worse things than what the pagans are doing. They're even doing worse. They're burning incense. They are making blood offerings. It's sad. And then they decide to go back to Egypt. And you know what? This is a generation. The generation that moved back to Egypt did not, they know the stories of Egypt. They did not experience the hardship of Egypt. They decided it was better to be back into Egypt than to live in the promised land. So they go back to Egypt. After years and years and years, this group of people, the tribe of Judah, many of them moved back to Egypt. And that's what happens in life today, is that we are so caught up with the what happened and the what didn't happen, and the what could have and the what couldn't have, that they are so caught up with these situations that they don't live into the promises that God has given them to live in freedom and to live in the plan and the purpose that God has called them to. I said, I don't know if you guys can remember the doctor that during COVID, he South African doctor, he's not a South African man. Do you remember that story? Started operating on people to try and remove the phlegm from their lungs in order that they can breathe better and all of that. But if you read the story of this man, who grew up in poverty, who walked through Africa, through the wilderness, ended up eventually into South Africa, and eventually studying to become a doctor, and then and during COVID times, he's saving lives. He comes from, listen, he walked through Africa. I can't remember where from. Can you remember? Somewhere from Congo. he then went to his uncle didn't want him. And then he walked through Africa. Can you imagine coming through Africa in the wilderness? No wild animal. He heard them at night. You can just imagine a young man, a teenager, sleeping in the wild, and there's lions roaring around you, and you have no food to eat, you are hungry, you are barefoot, you're walking through Africa, and then come COVID here, he is saving lives as a doctor. Can you see the two pictures? Because it doesn't gel, doesn't it? Because we think a doctor comes from a good home. He had everything in his life. He had good school marks. He started there and his parents put him in private school. He had the best of the best. He didn't have to worry about anything. He didn't even have to worry about life. He got things the way, and then eventually he studied hard enough. He became a doc. No, this guy walked through Africa. So what I want to say is that our past, our circumstances, where we come from, who we are, the color of our skin does not dictate the purpose that God is in your life. God has called you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter whether you're in hospital with your ulcers. It doesn't matter whether you're for treatment because you are depressed. God has called you. When you grasp that fact, then we realize God has called me to govern. No person in depression governs. No person holding on to the past governs. The past governs the person. God has called us to be free. God has called us and saying, what is your expectation? And if in the spirit we can say, Father, whatever your plan and purposes is for my life, that is my expectation. And we put our minds to it and we pray. And if we put our spirits to it and we pray and we pray and we pray, we will receive the breakthrough. Does God still heal? Yes, He does. Does God still do miracles? Yes, He does. There's a miracle sitting right there. A naughty one. But get the miracle. See, stop having a hang up of being the naughty one. He's still the miracle. I remember sitting in the hospital, being in the theater when Natalie was going to give birth. Natalie will tell the story much more dramatic than what I do, but she will tell it. Okay. Natalie can be an artist, you see. She'll tell you the story. You'll see. I will tell you the watered down one. We're sitting there in hospital. Josh was about to be born. We knew he was Down syndrome. Natalie had to go for a Caesar. I'm standing there. I've never been one to be afraid of blood or anything like that, so I'm standing there. And Natalie's lying there, and I'm standing here, and I'm holding Natalie's hand. Things go through the motions. Here comes Joshua, he's not breathing. Let me tell you something. Right there, you stand, you pray, you ask God to intervene, and there comes the breath, and there he is today. Does God still move? Yes. Does Satan still want to stop you from exceeding in what God has called you? Yes. But to live a life in fullness, in the glory of God, seeing God's blessings in our lives, is it worth it? Yes. If you had to ask the doctor today, was it worth it walking through the whole of Africa? What do you think he's going to say? No. I hate saving people's lives. No, he's not going to say that. He's going to say, yes, look where I am today. My name is worldwide known. I walked through Africa. People got the story. People were challenged by that story because people think that always the situations are worse than others. Here's a guy who walked through Africa, almost killed by lions, and he lives. You see? See how God operates? That story was told worldwide. to God be the glory. Today, Joshua touches many people's lives. To God be the glory. You must see him in action. Not as anything, but you must see him in action. You must see him touching people, other kids' lives that are far and over there, that is isolated. Joshua is automatically attracted to them and he draws them in. In the previous school, I always tell the story about this boy that couldn't walk and Joshua taught him to jump onto a trampoline. In his own fashion, by the way, he doesn't jump on standing on his feet. He sits on his knees and then he jumps up and down on the trampoline. But when he's there, the excitement in his eyes, you won't believe it. You see, you might think you're going through extraordinary things. God uses all things for the good for those who love him because God has a plan. If you had to ask Natalie and myself, when we sat in the specialist office and he came up and he said, I need to share something with you. Joshua's going to be Down syndrome. Do you think that we knew what he was going to get up to? No. Do you think we knew that we just knew God gave him to us? And as children of God, we know God's got a plan and a purpose for every year of his life. But lo and behold, Joshua's doing great things. And we still expect him to do greater things. So for each and every one of you that God has called you for greatness. God has called us for greatness. He called us to govern. He called us to rule. He called us to make a difference. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't. Because where you are does not determine or depict who you will be and what God will do. It doesn't, your circumstances does not determine your future because God is the one who determines your future. No man, no woman can tell you will become nothing because they are not God. They did not create. They cannot create anything out of its own. It must be there for them to develop or create something. God created man. God created you. So God called us to govern. So if you think that sometimes we are caught up, Israelites was caught up many times. Judah even went back to Egypt. Only again to have to go back to where they come from. So on this journey, just a couple of things that we need to start doing. So we understand that God called us to govern. Pastor Bram is excellent with us. He will recall prophecies that happened many moons ago. I can't. Because I didn't write them down. Pastor Bram, he writes things down. He makes a note of it. So when God speaks, Abigail said to me the other day, she said when she did her honors, she said to me, and she was praying and she was having quiet time, and God gave her the book of Job to read. And the message she got from Job was, don't be a Job. That's the message. Don't go sit there in that sheep. See, don't be that Job, but be the Job that stood up and made up his mind. And I said to her, where did you write it down? She says, no, I didn't write it down. I remember it now. I said, no, you need to write these things down. This is what God said to me. Because you know what? Halfway through your masters, you're going to be despondent. You're going to feel that. And then you have to go back to what God has said. Because what God spoke, God is true to his word. It will happen as God says. So as you have quiet time and the Holy Spirit shares, write it down. Write down the date. Write down what God said. Why is it important? It's important so that you in your downtime can say, the Bible says, take captive your mind, because this mind can play games with you. It's, oh, nobody loves me. Everybody hates. No! So if God says, no, I love you, then write it down, the day and the time that God said it. The word that God shared with you, write it down so that when Satan comes, says, nobody loves me, nobody, then go back, say, no, Satan, I come against you in the name of Jesus. On this day, God said, I love you and I will not forget it. Then the Holy Spirit comes because it's the truth that was spoken, and He pulls you out of the darkness that you are in, puts you back on the path. Write it down. Meditate on the word of God. Children of God, if we are children of God, we have to meditate on the word of God. We've got to know the word of God. Just like Jesus did. So when Satan came to tempt him, he says, it is written. Because the word of God is powerful. It is powerful to break every chain. It is powerful to break any lie. We have to meditate on the word of God. If we want to know where we're going, it's pointless knowing as a child of God. It's pointless if we don't include God into this plan. So if we seek God, seek the plan, we might not receive it everything at once. We might receive it little by little, but write it down. What you've received is what you need to follow. What you've received is what is good enough for now. And as you are obeying, as you are obedient to the little, God gives the more. And as you are obedient to that, and pretty soon you will see, wow, it has grown. It is big. Lastly, I want to share with you something else. In everything that God shares with us, I will tell you today, God makes the provision. God does. In everything that God plans, God makes the provision. The doctor walks through the whole of Africa. He's a doctor today. Did he carry a bag full of money and gold and gems? No. Did God make the provision? Yes. If God has called you, God will make the provision. Be in line with the word of God. God will make the provision. What is that expectation? Do we expect God to share? Do we expect God to provide? We need to raise the bar on our expectations. David says in Psalm 23, I love this. I can spend the whole day on Psalm 23, which I will not do today. But I will read it to you. It says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. You're suffering from depression? You're tired? You are moch? He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. For I know the plans I have for you. Even when I walk through the darkest of valleys or the darkest of Africa, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Verse 6, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. When you listen to psychologists and gurus and you name it, stop listening. So, they normally say, how do you perceive life? Is the glass full? Is the glass half full? Or is the glass half empty? Now, I've never got my mind around that. Because I never, even if I sit in a lecture somewhere in management, people always want to pull up quotes. And I don't want to identify myself to a half full glass or a half empty glass. as children of God, we should ask, is my glass big enough? That's it. Is my glass big enough? Because David says, my cup overfloweth. It's not half full, half empty. We must stop this doctrine that the world is trying to teach us. Because if I see it half full, this is how I should feel. And if I see it, my glass is half empty, then I'm more negative. Forget about that. The question is my glass big enough to contain what God is about to give me? Also the blessings that are going to come. David says, my cup overfloweth. Because when your cup overfloweth, you can share. If your cup overflows, it's wasting. So you take what overflows and no, let me share that. That is what God wants for us. Because whether my glass is half full or half empty, it's still half a glass. I can't share and I don't want to share and I'm more skeptical of sharing. But let me look at life and say, Father, extend, give me a bigger glass so that I can receive more, so that I can give more, so that I can do more. What is my expectation today? What is your expectation today? A for maths. If that is what the expectation is, let's lay it before the Lord and say, Father, help me. And God will bring the people your way so that there's greater understanding of maths so you'll get your A. But what is the expectation? Say, Father, I want to get over my depression. This is so much nonsense. I want to get over this. I want to move on with life. Then if that is the expectation, pray into it. Pray life into it. Open up that glass that God pour out His joy into that glass so that you overflow with joy. Okay. There are many people who overflow with joy. I like that. They automatically drag people to them because they're full of joy. Nothing gets them down. I'm not on 3 tablets to make me feel like that. That's crazy. We're talking about the joy of the Lord. That's what we need. That's what we need. What is your expectation today? Let's bring it before the Lord. Let's lay it at His feet. Father, this is my expectation. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that we can come to You. We thank You that we've been called. We thank You that we've been set free. We thank You, Lord God, that we are Your children. We thank You, Father, that we've been predestined. We thank You, Father God, that we have been called by name and we are Yours. We thank You, Father God, that we can lay down our expectations at Your feet and say, here I am, Lord. I'm nowhere close to where I should be. In my walk with You, Father, I'll be the first one to admit I'm not close to where I'm supposed to be this morning. But Lord, I come and I pray, Father, that You'll draw me closer to You, Lord, that You will extend my territory, that You will extend the size of my glass, Father God, so that my cup can overflow, so that I can share, give, bring, draw people into You, Father, because You've called us to make disciples of all nations. I want my life to be a living example, bringing glory to Your name. I don't want to be like a Judah. I don't want to turn back to the old. I want to move on to the new. Father, experiencing Your blessing after blessing after blessing as I commit to You, even in the darkest of hours, that I can call unto You and I know that my freedom lies within You from every situation that I might go through. And Father, this morning, to You be the glory, Christ Jesus. We thank You, we praise You, we glorify Your holy name, that You've come to set us free, that we might be called children of the Most High. Help us to live as children of the Most High. Come, Heavenly Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and live within. We invite You this morning. We invite You this morning. Each and every one that sits here this morning, we invite You in, Holy Spirit. Come and live within. Come and share. Come and share the truth in our lives. Come and share. Come and reveal.
come and fill us this morning. Oh Lord, and we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory this morning as we partake in communion this morning. Let it be a reminder, Lord Jesus, of what you have done on the cross. Your body that was broken, Lord. And it's by your stripes that we are healed. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify your holy name. For that your blood that has flowed, Lord, through your blood we are washed, we are cleansed from within. And as we partake this morning, come and do that. And draw us closer to you in Jesus' holy name. We pray. Amen.